You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening, watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. It's 11/18/21. We're really pleased we got our good friend Doug Casey with us. Doug and I, you know, we've been talking for more than 10 years now, Doug. The Greater Depression. It looks like with every day that passes, we're getting closer and closer. Shortages, prices, inflation. If you listen to John Williams, shadowstats.com is running at 14% a year, could be higher. What the heck is going on here, Doug?
I think that Williams numbers are much more accurate than those of the U.S. government. I trust figures coming out of the U.S. government about as much, well, a little bit more than I trust figures coming out of the Argentine government, because I'm speaking to you right now from Uruguay, right next to Argentina. So you can't believe these government figures. I mean, it's ludicrous for them to say that the dollar is depreciating only at 6%. It's much more like the 14% that Williams says. And it's going to get much, much worse, because not only have these people been creating trillions of new currency units, and of course, that's responsible for the stock market boom and the bond market bubble, but they're creating much more now with Biden's new trillion-dollar plan, which has just passed. So we're turning into a third-world country, actually. So you haven't seen anything yet.
So you think, is it possible we can have hyperinflation?
Well, it's been said there's a lot of ruin in a country, but it just depends on how many currency units they print. Remember when Bernanke said, we can dump money from helicopters. And everybody thought that was just some humor on his part. But it turns out it's not. It would be better, in fact, if they dumped it from helicopters, because then the average guy would have a reasonable chance of picking up his share of $100 bills. But the way they're doing this is all that money that they're printing up basically goes to New York and Washington, D.C., dispensed to politically favored classes. So, we could have hyperinflation. The entire economy could collapse. In fact, what really concerns me is not just a cyclical recession. It actually is the Greater Depression that we're looking at. In fact, it could be much worse than that. We're actually looking at Western civilization itself collapsing right before our very eyes. All the riots, all of the tearing down of old statues, all the people that you hear on MSNBC saying that not only white people, but the culture that Europe bequeathed on the world ought to be washed away. No, this is very, very serious. Very serious. This is the most serious thing since World War II, quite frankly.
So the collapse of Western civilization and all that goes with it, all the progress of over 1,000 years since the Dark Ages, since the Middle Ages, the Renaissance, kind of the height of Western civilization that propelled us forward for 600 years, all that down the drain, Doug?
Could it happen? Well, look, let's say you live in a big city like New York. There's no guarantee that trucks will come into the city with food. There's no guarantee that fuel will come into the city to heat your home and to fire up the engine in your car. You're only a couple of days away from that. In an advanced industrial society, supply chains are complex and somewhat tenuous. And what these people are doing is everything that they're doing is not only the wrong thing, but the exact opposite of the right thing. And you got to bear in mind that the people in Washington now are not just some more goofy Democrats with goofy ideas. These people are actually the reincarnation of the Jacobins from France in 1789. They're actually a reincarnation of the Bolsheviks from Russia in 1917. And by that, I mean they have exactly the same psychology, the same beliefs, the same worldview, and they're trying to impose that on the country. They actually might set off a civil war here in the U.S. Now, this is actually quite serious, but people don't think about that too much. With the stock market at all-time highs, the bond market at all-time highs, the real estate market doing very well, hey, it looks pretty good on the surface. But these are just monetary phenomena, and all of these prices in these three major markets could collapse overnight.
Yeah, so what are you supposed to do?
Something could change, and what are you supposed to do? Well, first thing you do is insulate yourself from the stupidity going on as much as possible. That means try to become as wealthy as you can. That'll give you running room. That'll give you more freedom to do things, to insulate yourself from the stupidity going on. That's one thing you do. Second thing you do, and of course that's easier said than done. Second thing you do is you your biggest risk today is actually political, not so much financial. Your financial risks are huge, but your political risks are even greater. So you want to try to insulate yourself from that. If you're living in the United States, I'd live in a so-called red state, not in a blue state. If you're in a financial position to do so, I would get a crib outside the United States, because things can change rapidly. I think the world itself is very much like it was back in 1938 or early 1939. So wasn't it war? You could still move, but you'd be wise to see which way the wind was blowing.
Yeah. So when you say we're like in the 30s before the outbreak of World War II, you think we're going to have World War III, or are all these countries just going to implode kind of on their own?
Well, that's certainly possible that they'll implode on their own, because it's not just the United States, it's not just Europe, but China and Japan have huge amounts of debt. And the problem with debt, several problems, but briefly, some people owe it to some other people. And if the people that owe it can't give it to the second group, you've got real problems. Point number one. Point number two, when you have debt, it means that you're living above your means. Just like when you have savings, it means that you're living below your means and growing in wealth. And all the debt there is in the world means people have been living above their means. So they're going to have a comeuppance. So getting back to World War III, though, a different subject, war has not been banished from the earth. And I'm afraid that what we're looking at in World War III is not going to have anything to do with, or very little to do with, aircraft carriers and F-35s and M1 tanks. I suspect it's going to have a huge biological component, A, and B, a component, because the entire world runs on computers. Everything runs on computers. And properly orchestrated massive cyber attack would shut down any place that you want. And nothing would happen at that point. Everything from the banks to the gas stations to the farms, everything. So those are the two big things, biological and cyber. I'm not worried about weapons that we're spending trillions of dollars buying. Those are basically junk. They're good for guerrilla wars, like the one we just lost in Afghanistan, but yeah. not real wars.
Yeah, well, you know, Facebook was out for a day a month or two ago, and I think they lost $3 billion or $6 billion, an incredible amount of money that you just look and say, wow, multiply that on a global scale. Basically, the world economy, if there's no internet shuts down, the world's like, it's over.
You know, I wonder, you mentioned that, Kerry, that's an interesting point, because things are getting a little bit better cyclically, but my understanding is that about 80% of international air traffic is no longer flying. For instance, there are absolutely no planes flying in and out of Australia, New Zealand, Singapore, Hong Kong. Traffic between the U.S. and Europe, much, much lower. So international air travel is down about 80%. That's a very, very serious thing. But I wonder if the powers that be, the people that run Washington and Toronto or Ottawa, I should say, and a number of other countries, if they aren't afraid of the hoi polloi out there communicating with each other and maybe the best way to keep the peasants quiet is to issue internet licenses to people so that anybody can't just get on and set up a blog and so forth. Maybe the internet will be shut down. I wouldn't put anything past these people at this point.
Really? Well, that's an interesting theory here that you'll need
to... It's not a prediction, but it's a possibility, part of overall cancel culture. Because as we know, there have been many, many people that have had YouTube channels and such that have been deplatformed.
Right,
deplatformed,
depersoned.
Get bigger. Yeah, exactly. And if you say the wrong thing to the wrong person, you can lose your job just for having politically incorrect speech or even thoughts for that matter. And it's not just out of Washington, but governmental entities all across the U.S., state, local, countywide, citywide. I mean, these people, that's what this thing about the school boards is all about. I mean, you know, who's in charge here? The whole world is tipping towards collectivism and statism. And all we need now is for the economy to collapse, which I think it will, along with the stock market and the bond market and the real estate market, which is built on debt. And the natives are going to get very restless.
And then what? Yeah, well, interesting. And, you know, this whole concept of the social credit score, we have it already here in the United States. It's just not prevalent. And they're nervous about it because it's tied into your credit score. And under existing law, they really can't do it. But if you want to go get an insurance policy, they access a database of every claim you've ever made, policy you've ever had, and they decide whether they want to write the policy based on the data that's present in that database. So you've really kind of got social credit, but it's not government-sanctioned social credit yet.
Don't just survive. Thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Arcana Corporation is on the verge of bringing the world's highest grade silver mine into production. The Revenue Virginius mine in Colorado has proven improbable silver reserves grading nearly 37 ounces per ton silver with an all-in sustaining production cost of only $8 per ounce of silver. The mine is fully permitted with infrastructure already in place, and the company has announced they plan to commence production in 2020. Achieving successful production usually results in a significant upward share price re-rating on the Lassonde curve. Arcana trades under the ticker AUN in Toronto and AUNFF in New York. To learn more, go to arcana.com. That's AURCANA.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
There's no question that it's moving in that direction, and it's full blown in China, but a next major step towards that, I think, is going to be the digitalization of the U.S. dollar. There's an active effort to take currency out of day-to-day use. For instance, in Sweden, there are almost nobody uses currency to buy or sell things. In China, it's increasingly that way. When you buy or sell something, even trivial things, a hamburger, you whip out your smartphone and debit. Your account for however many currency units it might be. We're moving in that direction rapidly in the U.S. And of course, you've heard of this woman, Sala Omanarova, an ex-Soviet who wants to see everybody's bank account actually with the Federal Reserve so that and it's all digital. So that, they will know everything that you buy, everything you sell, everything you own. Every dollar that you have, it's part of the whole. See, I hate to sound conspiratorial, Kerry, because I don't actually believe in most conspiracies. It's hard enough to get three or four friends to decide what movie you want to see. Well, you can't see movies anymore, but
yeah,
what restaurant you want to go to. So it's hard to believe that you can get hundreds of psychopathic miscreants like the ones that gather in Davos every year to agree on anything. But on the other hand, I'm just looking at things and, what am I going to believe? My lying eyes or what I see on MSNBC? I think I'll trust my eyes.
Yeah, like listen to their words and watch their deeds, and we know what they're capable of. So you need to find a way to insulate yourself. Is there any country that's really safe anymore, though? I mean, we used to say Costa Rica, Uruguay, but is any country really safe?
No, because as you know, I've traveled to over 155 countries. I've lived in 10, been to most of those countries many times. Right now, I'm speaking to you from Uruguay, which incidentally, and against all odds, is moving in the right direction. For instance, recently, they increased the number of guns that an Uruguayan can own from 3 to 8. That's totally counter trend to what's going on in the rest of the world.
That's a good start.
It is a good start. And they're doing the current president of Uruguay is a rich guy, and it's a small country, only 3.5 million people. And it's socially quite homogeneous. And the current president is, you know, a very good guy with lots of free market values, wants to deregulate the country and free marketize it further. So at the moment, Uruguay is a good place to be. Any other place in South America that looks good? Well, in Latin America, things can change radically with the next election anywhere, including here, where I am now in Uruguay for the time being. But any other places, things are going in the right direction? They're going radically in the wrong direction in places like Australia and New Zealand and Canada, where, you know, people are locked down and can't travel. It's horrible. So can't think of any other place, Gary, to be honest with you.
And like you said, it could change with the next election. We've seen a lot of countries in South America go further leftward. It just amazes me, Doug, that people haven't learned from the experiment in totalitarianism after World War II. You know, it also amazes me, inflation. When you think about it, you and I, we remember the 70s like it was yesterday, where basically you didn't want to hold any dollars. You just wanted to go buy things and get out of dollars. And yet most of the people alive today weren't alive or were children in the 70s. So they have no recollection and no insight into what inflation is, the toll it takes, the negative impact on society, on the home, on the family. They just have no concept of it.
No, they don't. I mean, they don't recall that in those days, sometimes we'd have to wait for a half an hour in lines outside gas stations, hoping to get our allocated 5 gallons of gas, which was all a station would sell you at times. So this could get quite serious. And as inflation gets out of control in the U.S., which it will very noticeably, what's the government going to do about that? Well, they can't stop printing money for lots of reasons. It's not out of the question that they're going to put on wage and price controls so they can show that they're doing something. And if things get really out of control, the average American will clamor like a chimpanzee for somebody to come up and kiss it and make it better. So we'll get a man on a white horse who will say, put me in charge, give me extra powers, and I'll straighten this all out for you. This is what often happens when you have an economic crisis in countries. I mean, so I'm not optimistic. I mean, it's even hard to cure this problem at this point because there are so many distortions that have been cranked into society that if we started deregulating, the old superstructure would collapse and a lot of people's rice bowls would get broken. So, yes, the problem can be cured, but who's got the courage to do it? Who's going to be the one that's going to collapse the old economy to go to a free market economy? Tough.
Yeah. I always said, like, who is the politician who wants to be known for crashing the old system, destroying the old system by history? No politician, whether it's central banker or president or anybody else, nobody wants to be known for that. And whether it's in China, the U.S., anywhere, nobody is going to take that toll on. They're just going to wait for it to happen.
That's exactly right. But who knows? Who knows what these people are going to do? I mean, it almost looks like they're trying to create a controlled demolition of what's left that's good in the American economy to move it towards genuine socialism. So, like I said before, all you can do is try to save yourself and your family financially in a couple of different ways. And when somebody says stupid things, which is to say socialistic things, statist things, collectivistic things, to confront them with it. Doesn't do any good to argue with people, but to draw these things to their attention, which is something I know you try to do on your show. But maybe we're just speaking to the converted at this point. We're singing to the choir, aren't we?
Yeah, and maybe to the future yet to be converted, because once things blow up, people will look for answers, hopefully, and hopefully we'll be there. Hey, one other thing I want to comment on. Elon Musk, whether you love the guy, hate him, whether you think Tesla is a creature of government largesse or not, the guy's succeeding everywhere he goes. The company's succeeding. It's the lone success story of American industrial, you know, expansion, if you will, over the past two decades. And what's happening? The government is going after him. If this have shades of Ayn Rand and right, Atlas Shrugged. Doesn't Elon Musk appear to be the Hank Reardon of our age?
Well, certainly more than all these other billionaires like Bezos and such, because Musk is actually responsible for creating real wealth. You know, his rockets and creating an electric car that actually works, and you know, his boring company. So he actually does things, and I don't know where all the money comes from, whether he's financed by government entities or not, but the guy actually creates things, and maybe they hate him because he actually does that.
Yeah.
He actually creates real wealth. So it's a paradox, but for all the faults and possible foibles that may underlie Musk, I'm a supporter of him because he creates real wealth.
Yeah. Hey, things like, you know, he goes into making cars, like, you know,
right,
to change a part on the assembly line in one of the legacy manufacturers takes like years to do. And this guy makes 27 changes a week on his assembly line because he's not tied in to the orthodoxy, to the process and all that. And, you know, they can't even catch the guy. Like Volkswagen said, it takes us 30 hours to make a car. It takes him 10. Now, that in itself speaks volumes over the power of thought, what you could do. You know, one thing we've always talked about, Doug, is the power of thought to actually transform people, communities, countries, world. And this guy's doing it. And he's nothing but a target now. Hey, and he's supposedly the richest guy in the world, whatever. But he's actually done something for it, like you said.
Yeah, exactly. There is cause for optimism in the future, no question about it. And I think that, for instance, Ray Kurzweil is going to be right about the singularity. And if you can last another 20 years, you might be able to live for 100 years. And the world will be not only better than we imagine, better than we imagine. It can be better than we even can imagine. So, you know, there is cause for optimism, but I'm afraid that over at least the next 3 or 4 years, and probably longer, we're in for some very, very rough times here in the U.S. And, you know, one of my activities and hobbies is writing these novels. You know, you've seen Speculator and Drug Lord and Assassin. And the next one will be out next year. It's called Terrorist. And I'm afraid that events are outrunning my novels. But I had to put in a plug for those.
Yeah. Oh, well, hey, absolutely. Hey, Doug, where do we read your latest screeds, ruminations on the economy? Where's the best place to find you?
Well, go to internationalman.com, and we have great editorials, I've got to say, useful, actionable editorials there every day, internationalman.com. And also, I do a podcast a couple times a week, usually, called Doug Casey's Take, and it's on YouTube. So more stuff there. Thanks for asking.
Right. Well, we'll put a link in the show notes to all that. We always appreciate you coming on, and we'll talk to you again soon. If you got a question for Doug, shoot me an email, kl@carrylutz.com. Doug, we'll talk to you again real soon. Thanks so much.
Good seeing you, Carrie. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.